When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Project Life Mastery Podcast. I'm Stephan James, founder of ProjectLifeMastery.com, internet entrepreneur and life coach with a passion for living life to the fullest and fulfilling my potential as a human being. My purpose for this podcast is to be a powerful and passionate example of the unlimited possibilities that life offers for any of us that has the courage to commit ourselves to life mastery, while sharing ideas, concepts, and strategies that can help you master every area of your life, from your health, mindset, emotions, business, finances, relationships, and spirituality. Now, if you're someone like me that is hungry to take their life to the next level, then you're in the right place. Welcome, and let's begin. Hey everyone, this is Stephan and Tatiana, and today we're gonna be answering your questions so that you guys can get to know us more on a personal level. This is a couples Q&A video. You guys have sent in your questions through Instagram about what you guys wanna get to know about us on a more personal level, and we've got here those questions in this hat. We're gonna pull them out, and we're each gonna answer the questions that you guys sent us. Now, we've already done this a few months ago in Hawaii, and we already answered a lot of the most common questions that you guys have about us. And so if you want to get to know us even beyond these questions here, I'll link below in the description to that video on my channel and on Tatiana's channel. If you want to get to know how we met each other and questions like that, we've already kind of covered a lot of that you guys can watch in the previous video. Mm-hmm. But we thought it'd be fun to do this video because there's a lot of demand to do it again. And you guys consume our content. We share a lot of advice, a lot of things that have helped us in our lives, but you don't really get to know us on a personal level. So this is kind of a glimpse and a preview in our personal lives and what you'd kind of get to know if you were friends with us or spent a lot of time with us. So we thought it'd be fun to give you guys that preview. So.
Yeah, so this is actually gonna be a two-part series. So you can watch this, finish this video here, and then part two is going to be on my channel. So we're going to continue it. So you can watch part two. We'll link that in the description box below. You can continue watching. We're going to continue answering questions, but we decided to just break it up so that the videos aren't too long, and you can consume them on both of our channels.
Yeah, there's a lot of great questions, so we'll try to answer as many as we can. So you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So where do you want to settle down one day, and why?
Yeah, so we've had a plan for a while now to move to the U.S. The original plan was to move to California. That was always on my vision board when I, you know, before I met Tatiana and planned out my life and where I want to live one day. And, you know, reason why I chose California is because I love the weather. I love the, you know, the beach life and just kind of the lifestyle that you can have down there. However, more recently, we've changed that to potentially Scottsdale, Arizona. So right now, we're actually in the process of immigrating to the U.S. But unfortunately, right now, it's very difficult because the U.S. embassies in Canada and other parts of the world have been closed due to COVID. And so there are delays, and it's going to take longer than what we expected to. But our plan currently, which could change over the next year, and you know, once things do happen, but we really like Scottsdale, Arizona. We like being close to Vancouver, Canada, because we still plan to spend summer times in Vancouver. We love Vancouver. We think that during summertime, when the weather's nice, it's one of the best cities in the world. It's just that most of the year it's raining and cold and overcast, and you know, we try to get away from that. So for us, our dream and our goal is to settle down in Scottsdale, get a property here in Vancouver in the city so we can have the city life as well. And then we're also planning, you know, currently it could change, but we want to get a vacation home in Hawaii, a beachfront property there too. That's part of our long-term vision. So yeah, that's kind of why we chose. We primarily like to avoid the cold and the rain. And yeah. So that's why we've chosen those destinations. And you kind of get different climates. You get the desert, you get, you know, Vancouver, the city lifestyle downtown, and then you get the beachfront tropical paradise in Hawaii.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That answers it.
Okay. What is your least favorite thing about each other?
Ooh.
Be nice.
Okay, well, Stefan loves efficiency, and if he feels like he is late to be somewhere for an appointment or say a flight or anything like that, anything where there's a schedule, he likes to be like on time. For him is like 10 minutes early, maybe 20 minutes early. So for me, on time is like on time. Like I do like to be on time, but I mean like on time. And so when he feels like we're running behind, he can like get really frustrated and yeah, kind of like an asshole sometimes, like a bit grumpy. And yeah, like I just, yeah, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah, no, I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, I've been aware of that and trying to improve it. But
yeah.
For me, yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I'd say, you know, to counter that, the question was the least favorite thing.
Yeah.
I'd say with you, it's taking too long to get ready or to get somewhere, because I like to plan things. I like to be efficient. I like to make sure, okay, if we're gonna need to be here at this time, then I anticipate, okay, this is how long it's gonna take there and things like that. And then sometimes you are still getting ready, or for me, like when I say I'm ready, like I'm ready to go at the door. And then I'll say, are you ready? And she'll say, yes. But for you, ready means there's still all these other things that you have to do. And so I get a little bit frustrated with that. And I need to do a better job anticipating and planning, you know, what your level of ready is. And I think actually it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I've kind of reframed it where, yeah, I think this is like one of the gifts of the feminine. You know, you're very feminine, and yeah, I love your feminine energy, and I love, you know, it takes longer because you want to look good, or you want to make sure you have everything that you need in your purse or whatever it is. And instead of looking at it as a negative, I can look at that as a positive. And that's actually an incredible gift that you bring to the day to day and the relationship and things like that too. So while it is like something that it's like a least favorite thing at times, at the big picture, I can really appreciate,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can do that about anything, right? Any, yeah, any quality in your partner that you despise or don't like, you can just reframe it and just see, like, there's always a gift in it. And one thing that I've learned is that, you know, masculine and feminine, what are, like, understanding the differences between masculine and feminine, instead of just trying to make everyone the same, right. I think there's value in understanding the differences, because it's only once you understand those differences that you can actually develop a level of appreciation for them and a level of understanding, and see how they complement each other. Like the masculine and feminine tend to complement each other in many ways. And yeah, it's great. Like I can also see the gift in him wanting to be on time, meaning being ahead of time. Like there's a gift in that as well, and seeing like how that can benefit me. So you can always find something, which is good.
For sure, yeah. And I'd say, you know, it's also an opportunity to like, look at why this person is reacting this way and why they're behaving that way. Because for me, you know, you can still be efficient, but it doesn't mean that I have to react and get frustrated. Yeah. And really what that is just fear. It's just fear about, oh my gosh, if I don't get there on time, or if it doesn't go this way according to plan, what does that mean? It means that, man, we're going to miss this appointment, or, you know, I don't want to, you know, leave this other person waiting, and, you know, it's just disrespectful to them. It's all some sort of meaning that I've created from that. And so for me, it's learning also how to just accept at times being late and being okay with that. I don't want to make that a habit, but, you know, not having the attachment to having to be somewhere on this time exactly, because there are things that do happen outside of our control. And it's also an opportunity just to, like, you know, as times where you're frustrated with me and I'm frustrated with you, it's an opportunity to just accept a person and love them and just understand why they are behaving this way, and that, yeah, they're not their behavior. People are not their behavior. It's just, that's the pattern that people run when they're in pain, when they're suffering, when they're stressed, when they have anxiety, whatever it might be. So you can, you know, it's a good opportunity, I think, to not be triggered and love your partner and have patience with them.
And that's the thing, is that whenever something about you frustrates me, it's just a great way to take a mirror and look at myself in the mirror and just reflect and just be like, hey, why is that a trigger? Why am I upset right now? Why can't I just let that go?
For sure.
It's always, there's always a learning opportunity in anything like that.
For sure, All right, let's move on.
Okay, how many hours did you work when you were first starting your business?
Yeah, for me, a lot. I mean, my first business I started, it was when I was 21 years old. It was called Lifestyle Transformations. It was a coaching business in Vancouver, a speaking and coaching business. And I was working full time, and then my evening times, that's when I'd work on my business. And I had a goal that I was going to launch this business January 1st. And so I had several months beforehand that I was working on it in the evening times, because January 1st, I was going to go full on in my business. I was going to quit my job, go 100% in. And so I had a sense of urgency, because for me, that deadline of like when I was going to quit and go 100% on my business, that was a huge motivator for me that I need to get my shit together now. I have this many months and I better figure it out. I better be making enough money at this point, because at that point I'm giving my notice. And so for me, I was working evenings. I remember getting a website done through Odesk.com, which is now Upwork.com. And I had hired someone in India, and I was like up middle of the night communicating with this web designer in India, so that, because that was the only time they were online, to get my website created. So that was my first business. And then my online business, which was when I was like 23 years old, I'd say there's like, kind of at first, there's a little bit casual, but when I got serious about it, I was working honestly like, man, I want to say like 16 hours a day, like something crazy like that, because I've also, one thing I've learned about myself is I am very comfortable being in isolation. I'm very comfortable just being in front of the computer for hours and hours and hours, because I used to play video games and be addicted to play 16 hours a day video games. So that kind of suited my personality a little bit. I had more of that tendency. And so it was very easy for me just to get, you know, working on something and just have the whole day go by working morning till night and just be immersed into it. And at times when I was traveling, like when I went to Southeast Asia, to Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam to build my business, I was just no social life, no fun, no hanging out with people. I remember living, staying in hostels and sharing a room with like 12 other people in bunk beds. They're all in party mode in like Koh Samui, Thailand. And I'm like on the top bunk working on my online business into like late hours of the night. They're coming home drunk, wasted. But I was just so committed that I just believed the more that I put in, the more I'd get out of it. How long do I want this to take? I could either have this drag on for years and years and years and create success, or I can create my success in the next year, the next 2 years, if I really commit, immerse myself now and pay that price, I can get there sooner. And the sooner that I get there, the sooner that I can enjoy my life and prosper from it. So it wasn't the healthiest. It's very challenging, but I was in a position where I was desperate. I was all in. I was going to do whatever it took. I didn't care what it took. I was going to put in the time for it. So that was at the beginning stages for me, because a big part of it too was like I was really frustrated a lot of the time that I wasn't seeing success. And the more frustrated that I got of having months go by not seeing success in my business, the more motivated that I became. The more I was like, I must not be doing enough affirmations every day. I must not be, you know, applying what I'm learning here. I must not be this. I must not be that. I would just continue to double down more and more and commit myself more when I wasn't seeing the success that I wanted to. So it just made me, the frustration, the pain of not seeing success just made me put in even more. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that for anyone starting a business, there is that grind stage in the business, the startup phase. You know, it's like you have to put in the time and the effort. And I don't know anyone who started a business without dedicating a lot, many, many hours to making it happen. So for myself, when I started my business, I would say like, you know, first I started part-time, so I was a university student, and I was also working part-time, so most of my hours in the day were consumed either by attending school, doing homework, or working at my job. And then any additional time I had, I was working on my business. So I started maybe like a couple hours a day. And then eventually when I quit my job and when I dropped out of school, then I went full time into my business. And when that happened, that's when I started to really invest the hours. So it wasn't just 8 hours a day. There were days that were 10 hours. There were days that were 14 hours and there were days that were 16 hours. And it was a hustle. It was a grind. And the challenge was trying to balance that with also having a relationship and trying to thrive in a relationship. So I would come and see Stefan on the weekends. We never lived together. And then the weekdays, I would just like really, we'd both be working on our own thing. And then we just hang out on the weekends. And that worked for quite a long time. We did that. There was definitely, it was a lot of effort, but you know, I always like to tell people that, you know, it shouldn't be like that forever. You know, the idea of, you know, starting a business is that yes, in the beginning you have to expect that there's going to be blood, sweat, and tears. You can't just expect it to be easy, because it usually isn't. But eventually what you want to do is you want your business to get to a certain point where you don't have to invest that much time into it or that much energy. You want to set up a foundation where, you know, the business is able to function without you working on it 10 hours a day, 16 hours a day. And if that's not the case, then you got to take a hard look at your business and see what you did wrong or where things could be better optimized. You maybe need better systems in place. Maybe you need to make some hires, because otherwise you're always going to be a business operator, never a business owner. And the goal is to always become the business owner, so that you can actually have time away from your business.
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, even once we had achieved success in our business, in some cases we were working more or even harder than we were at the beginning because it wasn't necessarily like out of desperation like it was for me originally, but it was more like
opportunity demand.
There's so much opportunity to demand. Like, you know, for us, when we're building our business, it just started becoming so time consuming. Yeah. Also because we didn't have those systems, right? Yeah. Like I'm doing the customer support. Yeah. I'm posting on social media. I'm creating videos. I'm managing my inventory. I'm doing this. I'm like, you're just doing so much. And it just kind of grows into this monster. So it's a great problem to have because your business is like blowing up, or there's just so much great opportunity to make money that you can't say no to it. So that's why I mentioned in the other video we did, which we'll link to below, just for me, it's just like one of my most important habits is like getting away from the computer, getting away, because I can get addicted to it. Like you can too. Like you can get so consumed in that world of business and marketing and making money, and it can be fun, but it can take you away from like actually living life and having the freedoms that your business provide for you. Yeah. So it's a balance of it.
Yeah,
but
I think some people have a really hard time getting themselves to do work. But for us, it's like we can easily get into workaholic mode.
Yeah.
We like to work on projects. We like to make progress. We value growth. Growth is a really high value for us. And our when it comes to our values. And so part of our growth is growing your business, right? It's like the ultimate project. So it's easy for us to spend a lot of time in that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on.
When are you planning to have kids?
Well, we would have had kids by now if it was not for the pandemic. It's kind of delayed some of our plans that we shared, but pretty soon we're going to be trying and hopefully all goes well with that. So we're very excited. That's something that we've been wanting to do for a while now, is to move on and start a family. And we feel like we've got a lot of the traveling out of the way, which is part of our plan to be digital nomads and travel. And not that you can't travel when you have kids, you absolutely can, but there's certain trips and travels and experiences that we might not have done if we did have kids. So mm-hmm. we kind of planned things out in a way that we wanted to travel, enjoy the lifestyle that our business can provide for us, and then settle down and transition into that. So soon we're going to be making some attempts this year.
Yeah, hopefully everything goes well.
Yeah.
Everything will be happening for a reason.
Okay, so the next one is, if you're sitting in front of a TV, what's on the screen?
So for Stefan, I'm going to tell them what it is for you, and you can tell them what it is for me.
Okay.
So for Stefan, if he's in front of a TV, or a computer, then he's watching the basketball highlights, or he's watching the talk show where they talk about they gossip about basketball and all of the basketball players. What's it called?
It's either ESPN First Take or Undisputed on Fox.
Yeah.
Other sports fans probably know what I'm talking about.
He's a big sports, you're a big
basketball
guy. But yeah, that talk show where they're always
debating
is just, I mean, it's definitely a talent, it's a skill. I hear what they're saying. It's like, yeah, it's good that you can always come up with something, but it's basically like equivalent to the Real Housewives for women.
Okay, for you, that's actually really tough. Because you don't have really something like that.
I wish I had a go-to.
I would say you're either, I mean, when you're on the computer, okay, this is for TV, right?
TV or, yeah, like, or watching TV on Netflix or something.
I don't know.
I don't watch TV unless it's with you.
Yeah.
We only watch TV.
I mean, if you're on a computer, it's like work, maybe shopping. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really watch TV. No, I don't have anything that I watch.
Yeah. I mean, we do like watching. I think was it the last video we shared some of the series? Or is it this video?
No, it was the last Q&A.
Yeah, so the other Q&A that we just did that's on Tatiana's channel, if you click the description there, we talk about our favorite TV series that we watched recently that you guys can learn more about.
What has been the most powerful personal development experience of your life?
Yeah, so I did a video on this sharing BioCybernaut, and that's on my channel. It's, I think the title of the video is The Most Powerful Self-Development Experience of My Life. So that was doing 7 days of alpha brainwave training, 10 to 14 hours a day in Sedona, Arizona at the BioCybernaut Institute. I talk more about that experience in the video, but that was probably one of the best ones because you're fully immersed. Any transformation that I've had and most people have is when you're in immersion. It's like you don't really experience a transformation just reading a book 10 pages a day. It's when you immerse yourself in an environment, you're doing the deep, deep, deep work. And especially over 7 days where your ego's coming up, wants to take you out of it. I'm tired. I want to go to the bathroom. I can do this later. It's trying to avoid things. That's when the ego comes up and that's when you can really get past it and experience the greatest transformation. And so BioCybernaut was that for me where I got to train my alpha brainwaves in different parts of my brain, which has a lot of incredible benefits to creativity, IQ, emotional intelligence. I was able to also simultaneously release a lot of trauma, pain, any negative emotions that I had that were linked and anchored to people in my life or my business or certain experiences. I was able to neutralize a lot of that by doing a deep forgiveness process. And it just really helped our relationship and just my mental performance, I'd say. I'd say that it's been now, I think, 2 months since we did that experience. And I'd say my thinking is more clear and I just have more calmness in my day-to-day life, more presence from that experience.
Yeah, I think that BioCybernaut was also probably, the most beneficial self-development experience. For me, the greatest benefit was just going through the forgiveness process. And it's pretty amazing how it works because when you're hooked up to all of these electrodes and you're in a high alpha state, you know, you're no longer subject to your little perspective, you know, in the day to day, most of us are functioning on a beta brainwave state, medium beta state. And, you know, we're limited to our own perspective on how we see things. But when you're in a high alpha state, you know, you're able to raise your level of consciousness and you're able to see things kind of like from a bird's eye view. And you can kind of remove yourself from the situation and see things for what it is instead of how it appears to be from your limited perspective. And so that's really powerful when you're going through a forgiveness process, because if you're not, you know, in this alpha state hooked up and all that, you know, if you're just sitting here and trying to go through it, you can just say, yeah, I forgive you, and go through the motions that you think are forgiveness. But there's still usually that charge there because you didn't really truly forgive. And for me, I learned how to truly forgive and what that process entails. And for me, it was really, you have to walk through the other person's shoes. I had to walk through the other person's shoes objectively and see, you know, from the beginning, like, how did they grow up? How were they raised? Because we all know, like, your childhood really significantly affects how you show up as an adult and who you are and what you do. And so walking through that, their footsteps and seeing how they would have seen life and trying to understand that a little bit more. And once I was able to do that, I could say, like, yeah, like, no wonder they did that, or no wonder they said that. Doesn't mean that I condone the behavior or that I agree with it or that I accept it. It just means that I could see how it ended up going down that path. And it's from that place of understanding that I was actually able to truly have empathy and love for that person. And that's how the charge was dissolved. That's how true forgiveness was able to take place, because it came from a place of understanding and a place of, like, no longer separation. The separation is ego. Separation is what divides us all. And so that was really powerful for me, because I had, you know, I had gone through a lot of forgiveness work that I didn't even know I had. You know, I thought I didn't have baggage. I mean, we all have baggage, yeah. But it's so liberating to be free of that and to not have any animosity or any charge towards anyone or anything. And it's just, yeah, it's freeing.
And you know what's powerful, I'd say, about BioCybernaut compared to a lot of the other personal development we've done? A lot of personal development is like information. It's like educational. You go there, you take notes, but then you have to apply it. And it's not until you really apply it that you get results from it. BioCybernaut is like training. It's you being there in this chamber with electrodes attached to your head, yeah. Doing the work, applying, implementing, forgiving, yeah. You know, raising your consciousness, you know, training your alpha brain waves and all of that. And that has a permanent effect on rewiring your brain. So that's why I'd say it's one of the most powerful ones, mm-hmm. is like the permanent effect of what you accomplish there versus other seminars have been great, books, resources, courses, all of that. You know, Tony Robbins is Unleash the Power Within is great because it's not just information. It's actually an experience of conditioning your states, conditioning, you know, your physiology, your focus, your language patterns to be in high performance states. So things like that, I think I've always gotten the most from when I look back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Next one. How long have you two been together?
So pretty soon in May, it will have been 7 years.
Yeah.
So 7 years. It
goes by fast.
Yeah. Almost a decade.
Yeah. It's insane. It's insane to even look back. You know, when we look back at pictures and videos, and we've got a lot on Instagram, but, you know, even on YouTube as well, just to look back and seeing all the experiences that we had and just kind of where we were, mm-hmm. 7 years ago.
It's amazing how much we've grown in our relationship.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, like looking back and just seeing how we were such babies and so unconscious too. Like that's one thing we learned is just we've seen our development as individuals, but also as a couple, and seeing how we went from such a state of unconsciousness to a much higher state of consciousness. And there's always room to grow, of course. We're going to continuously grow. But just seeing how, you know, there's certain things that we did or certain things that we were into that just come from a lower state of consciousness. So this the fact that we both value growth has really been incredible for our relationship, because we've grown so much over 7 years. Like you can't recognize even a year ago, we just, you know, our friends and family wouldn't be able to recognize us, you know, in conversation because of all the things that we've done.
Definitely our values have changed a lot, just the direction of our lives, where we're no longer, you know, even pursuing success as much and more in a phase of just going back to what we said about living more in the present moment and like enjoying our lives and cultivating other aspects of life, which has been really great. A lot of spiritual growth and development. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm sure we'll look back at us today, 7 years from now, and be like, wow, we were babies and unconscious back then too. So yeah, it's just always fun to look back when you do that, but that's just part of growth. Okay. This is the last one. Okay, the last question, and then we'll wrap it up. And again, we've got the other part in the description that you guys can watch if you want to continue this. We've got a lot of other questions that we already answered.
More of us, if you can handle more.
Okay, so how do you keep your relationship fun and new when you both work from home?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that you have to be very conscious of and actively try and keep things fun and new because, you know, we all know about the law of familiarity. And if you're around something long enough, you'll soon take it for granted. It's just, it's kind of human nature. And same goes for couples, right? And we have been working from home together for a long time now, and we've been traveling the world together, and oftentimes we are in small hotel rooms, and you know, you're not getting much space, so we are together and around each other, you know, almost 24/7. And so I guess number one is, like, you do have to create some separation and some space. It's important to take time apart, to have some independence. If you are constantly together, like, yeah, you can be buddy-buddy and it can be all fun, but you need to have some alone time for yourselves to find yourself, and then you can come back recharged and something, bring something fresh to the table. So for me, I mean, I would say, like, I've, as the feminine in this relationship, and we both have masculine and feminine, I don't even want to get into the polarity thing, but as the feminine, I like to add some variety and bring, you know, variety is the spice of life. So I like to spice things up, whether it is, you know, let's do something, let's, like, have a date night, let's do something fun, let's transform the living room into, like, a tent and, like, do something crazy, or, like, just even changing up my look has been really fun for us. And
she's great at that. You love to dress up and different hairstyles.
And it's because he appreciates it. Like, he loves it when I have a new hairstyle or when I, you know, buy a new outfit. And so I'm always trying to, like, change that up because that adds a lot of variety to our relationship. There's only so much he can do, as, you know, you wear the t-shirts and shorts every day, right? There's a lot more that I can do, a lot more that I have at my fingertips. And so that's a part of it. Yeah. And I think a part of it is, like, you know, we plan dates and we create date night and we make that a priority for us. Stefan's really great at just planning, okay, we're going to go, and he organizes, like, we're going to go on a hike and then we're going to have dinner, and he finds fun things for us to do. And yeah, so that's part of it.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because I'll share a few things that we do, but I was just thinking, you know, it used to be, just going back to this dopamine subject, I'm going to maybe do another video on dopamine. I did one on my YouTube on how to reset your brain about dopamine detox. Did really well. I think it got over 100,000 views. I want to do it again because I have some new distinctions around it. But as I've been on this journey, I've noticed, like, before, I remember, like, because the question was, how do you, like, keep things new and exciting? Mm-hmm. For me, I was so, like, addicted to dopamine that I always had to do something new.
Yeah.
And I was never just, like, satisfied with doing nothing and just, like, be, you know, sitting around. Like, even, for example, on dates, we'd always have to do something different, right? Yeah. So it's like, okay, we're going to go on this hike. And then, okay, we've done that hike. Now we're going to go to this golf course. And okay, now we've done that. Now we're going to go
to...
We
want to do it once.
Yeah, yeah. Versus, and that's the dopamine of, like, always needing something new.
More.
Whereas now what I've realized, it's not about, that's the dopamine addiction, more and more and more. Whereas now I'm like, okay, I'm trying to find ways to experience the pleasure and the fun and the variety and just the joy in the same thing, right? So it's like doing the same thing. Hey, yeah, like, let's just do that walk again and again every day, but let's find ways just to get pleasure and joy out of that rather than needing something new. Because I remember, like, one summer in Vancouver a few years ago, I just, like, it was like a beautiful day and it was like, there's nothing to do. And I was bored, but that was only because my brain always needed something new. It I'd done everything there was to do, which I really didn't, but that's what I thought in my brain, instead of, like, just finding ways to enjoy just, yeah, going back and doing that hike again. And every time you go back and do that hike, you get something different from it. You know, so I'd say that's a difference in how my brain has changed, I'd say, over the last year or two, as I've kind of done this work of resetting my brain.
And again, the way that you can find, you can enjoy the simple things and doing the same thing over and over again is just by being present. Mm-hmm. Because say we go on the same walk every single day. Well, is it really the same walk? No, it's a new day. There are different animals in the ocean. There are different people passing you by. There's a different scent in the air. You know, like every single day, you'll never get yesterday back. Yesterday's in the past. Today's a new day. And so even though you might be doing the same thing, the same activity, the same actions, you can experience it for the first time because it is the first time you're experiencing that moment. That moment only happens once. You can't re-experience a moment from the past. You can only experience it again for the first time.
So it doesn't need to be anything big. It used to be something big, but now when you're present, it's little things, right? So you, when you're present, it's like little things you get pleasure from. Yeah. It's just noticing things you didn't notice previously rather than having like, it be like a new environment, a new activity, a new hobby that has to make things fun and exciting and new and engaging in a relationship. So, and I think that's a key thing, even just, you know, being together when you know someone so much, you've been around that person so much, still finding and things within yourself and exploring you and you exploring me. Mm-hmm. That's also, you can get a lot of variety from that, you know? So, that's kind of like the way I look at it a little bit more now. So a lot of the things are smaller, but also like, I think one thing for us is because the last few years we've been traveling and we haven't had a home. We've kind of like living in Airbnbs and hotels and things like that. I found that we almost get too much variety.
Yeah.
And we kind of crave the comfort and the certainty. And so we, you know, it hasn't been too difficult for us because we can travel. Just going outside in a new country, having a new home is like a lot of variety that just makes things exciting there.
But when you have too much variety, you crave comfort. When you have too much comfort, you crave variety.
So we
So for us, we were on an extreme with having so much variety. So what would happen is that when we were just at home, we would just want to be at home and we wouldn't want to go out. We wouldn't want to go and do a bunch of things because we just wanted to stay and keep things simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, for us, we enjoy being at home a lot because we get comfort from that and just being together. And, you know, we watch different shows at times. We got, you know, got the Nintendo Switch to play Super Mario Brothers once in a while.
The answer is
we are creative with a lot of things too.
Yeah, but I think the truth is that you have to like create intimacy in your relationship. And intimacy doesn't have to mean sexual relations. It means into me you see. And when you have take the time to do that with your partner, take the time to look into their eyes and like to get to know them and their heart and experience them fully and understand who they are. And just because you met them 7 years ago, you know, they're a different person today than they were when they first met you. And have you been meeting them for the first time over and over again? Or have you just, you felt like you've met them once and then that's enough? Like you have to reintroduce yourself to your partner.
And you almost have to approach your partner as if, like you said, meeting them for the first time, because when you're with someone so much, oftentimes you already create this identity for them and you kind of put them in a box, and this is who they are and this is what they like and what they don't like and this is what they do and this is this look that they make or whatever it is. You are creating that instead of allowing that person, you know, approaching that person without those preconceived notions and beliefs and stepping into this person as like, hey, who is this person now today in this present moment? Yeah. And can I put aside all of that and just be with this person and not be in my mind, in my head with all these attachments and this identity that I think they are?
Because
they're more than that, and seeing your soul and your spirit and just who that person is.
That's what keeps things new and exciting.
Yeah.
And I would say like that's the hardest part of being in a long-term relationship, is that over the years you start to accumulate all of these preconceived notions about what this person is, what they do, what that look means, and these judgments or these assumptions about them because, oh, I know them so well because I've been with them for so many years. And that creates the filter that now you see that person through this filter of all these things that you assume about them, instead of understanding that every day is a new day. And just because they were doing that yesterday or just because they did that a month ago doesn't mean that they're going to be like that today. Maybe they're a new person today. So give them a fresh start. Give them a new chance, a new opportunity.
Because otherwise your belief of who they are is actually not even allowing them to change or be anything other than that. So if you even have an issue with your partner and you're like, you always do this, but it's like by you believing that they are this way, you're actually not even allowing them to change or make progress outside of that, because you're just kind of keeping them stuck based on how you perceive that person. So it's so interesting how we can affect the other person with our beliefs and our perceptions of them and the identity that we have for them, instead of having that awareness and catching that and being aware from that and actually putting that aside so that this person can grow. And just, the presence piece is so key.
Yeah, and like, I believe that everyone can change. You know, for people who say that, oh, you know, you can't change, or like, once a cheater, always a cheater. Like, I don't believe that at all. Like, that's actually crazy, because when you think about it, like, look how much, you know, I've changed so much in 1 month, in 1 year, in 2 years, in 5 years. Anyone can change. Any behavior can change. Any action. So you have to give your partner an opportunity to grow and develop into the person that he or she wants to be without your... You know, why make it harder on them by placing the judgments and stereotypes limiting them from who they used to be?
Hopefully this makes sense for you guys. We're going a little bit deep and philosophical here, but hopefully that, you know, we take a simple question. That's one thing about us. We actually have these deep conversations all the time. Like, we'll just kind of sit and just like talk about life and talk about psychology, talk about human behavior. That's one of our favorite things to do. We're both very deep and philosophical, and we'll just kind of sit there and talk. And so you kind of got a glimpse of what we're like in that way too. So that's this video. I'm not sure how long we've gone on for, quite a while. We do talk a lot. We want to thank you guys for your questions, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the answers and got a chance to get to know us a little bit more on a personal level. If you guys want to watch the second part of this video, the link will be in the description on the Tatiana James YouTube channel. That's where you guys can watch and listen to some of the other responses. And we'll also link to some of the previous ones that we've done here as well, if you want to continue to get to know us. But we thank you guys so much for being subscribers and fans and followers of our work. We appreciate you guys for that. And subscribe here on Project Life Mastery, Tatiana James, for more of our content. Otherwise, thank you guys so much. We'll see you again soon. Take care. Thanks for joining me today and listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or received any value, then I'd love for you to leave an honest review on iTunes and subscribe to the Project Life Mastery podcast for future episodes. And of course, to receive more content and value, make sure to find and follow me at www.projectlifemastery.com for more. Thanks again. Remember to always believe and commit your life to mastery. I look forward to talking to you again soon.